We're in chapter 18. Is that right? Yeah. We're in chapter 18 tonight. And Acts. We'll try to get through verse 17 and we'll save the rest till next time. And we're supposed to start at verse 18 tonight. Well, I looked at the wrong passage earlier, so I guess we're going to wing it.
We can go over it again.
No. We'll go ahead and we'll start with verse 18, and we'll read through we'll go through the end of the chapter to 28. And we'll see. We might go a little bit into 19 tonight because the verses 18, or actually verses 24 of chapter 18 starts with Ephesus and goes through the end of chapter 19. That's going to be a long study, so we might touch a little bit on verse 19 tonight, but we'll see how far we get. Paul has been on this second missionary journey. Remember, he's been to quite a few places he hadn't been before. He had the Macedonian call. Remember when he went to Lystra and Iconium, Antioch, and it's in Pisidia. He was in that area in Galatia, that part of Galatia. He heard that Macedonian call and was called to go to Macedonia and to go around Asia, as they knew it back then, which would be, if you look at our map, is that eastern part of Turkey. And it's a pretty big region there in that part of the world. And a lot of churches eventually were organized in that area. And a lot of those churches Paul never got to go to. We've talked about that. We're doing a study on Sunday mornings on Colossae, on the book of Colossians and the church of Colossae, and that was one of the churches that Paul never got to visit in person. Yeah, he wrote a letter to them, and he heard much from them. We also have talked about how we read of those a lot of those churches, several of those churches in Revelations, the seven churches in Asia that are talked about, where our Lord talked about those churches and gave some warnings, some congratulations, and but that's a lot of our ancestry as far as Baptists are concerned came through that part of the world. They were organized from missionaries who came out of Antioch and out of Jerusalem. Now, on this journey, Paul has been to Athens. He's been to Corinth, that we looked at last time. He's now heading back to Antioch. So in verse 18, he says, "And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence to Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Centuria, for he had a vow." This, remember, he met Priscilla and Aquila while he was in Corinth. That talks about that at the first of the chapter. And they were tent makers. They had the same craft, it says, that Paul had. And so they had something in common. They were of the same occupation. And we read in, there's one or two other places in the New Testament we see where Paul worked with these people. He made tents, and he wasn't. You know, we see a lot of missionaries who go on the field that they live off their support, and if they get enough support, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. There are some, though, that they don't want anything to do with physical labor, and they don't they don't want to help with the physical needs of the mission work that they're at. Paul obviously did. He not only did he preach and teach and study the Word of God while he was on these trips, he also worked to pay his way in places. There were places where he didn't have to work to pay his way. The people gave him what he needed. Some of the places he went to were poor and couldn't. Macedonia was one of those. If you remember, Paul mentioned, and I think it'll be later in the book of Acts, but he mentions how poor things were, how bad things were in Macedonia. And remember, he was treated very badly in Thessalonica and in Berea by the Jews. They followed him everywhere he went, trying to persecute him. The people in Macedonia were not as wealthy as other places that he traveled. And there were times where, I believe he even mentions at one point, there was a lack of food where they were, but the people still took care of him. He wasn't able to do much work there. If in their day, of course, when he got to Athens and to Corinth, being large trade cities, there was a little bit more wealth there. They were a little bit better taken care of there. But Paul wasn't against the churches helping the missionaries, but he also wasn't against the missionaries working for their keep too. And like I said, we have some today that, for whatever reason, don't seem like they want to do any of that. Sometimes it's necessary. Sometimes, though, we know we've got friends, missionary friends that we've had over the years that they're maybe at the age now where they're not physically able to do a job, a physical job. So there, you know, there's that also. Anyway, Paul is on his way back, going back to Antioch. Now, he's left Achaia and Corinth, and is heading back. In verse 19, and he came to Ephesus and left them there, talking about Priscilla and Aquila. But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. So here again, Paul goes to the synagogue and he reasoned with the Jews. He went there to teach, went there preaching the gospel. And when they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. So he's trying to get back to Jerusalem. There's a feast coming up, time coming up, and he's trying to get back there. Remember, Paul, his original church membership was at Jerusalem. It wasn't until Barnabas called him to come help at Antioch and help organize that, teach that church and to organize that church, where that he moved his membership there. Remember we talked about that when, remember when the verse refers to them being called Christians first at Antioch. That's part of that story. Paul, you can see where he and Barnabas joined themselves to that congregation, it says, to the saints there. They joined themselves there. So they moved their membership from Jerusalem to Antioch. Now he's a member at Antioch, but being a Jew, he still has ties to Jerusalem. And Paul will go back to Jerusalem and for this feast and to set an example for some people. The Jews at the synagogue, though, wanted him to stay and teach them more. But he couldn't. He had to go. verse 22, and when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. If you go look at the map, this is the Antioch, the southern Antioch, if you want to call it that. The northern Antioch is in Pisidia and Galatia, and was not was one of the places that he was persecuted. This is Antioch that he's referring to now, is in what we would know as Syria, and is his home church now. So he goes back there to give his missionary report. He's ended his journey. Or he's in, about to end his journey. It says he's going to Caesarea first. He landed at Caesarea, had gone up and saluted the church. So it was a church at Caesarea. And he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. So he strengthened all the disciples. He went there to teach and to encourage the churches in those parts of the world. Now, verse 24, we read of Apollos, another preacher. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria. And this Alexandria, I'm not sure if this is the Alexandria in Africa, in Egypt. I think it is because of the proximity of that to where he's at. Some will argue that during the Greek Empire, it was a popular thing to rename your city Alexandria because of Alexander the Great. Sometimes he demanded a city rename themselves to Alexandria. Some will say that this is, it was possibly one of these other cities, but Alexandria, typically and historically, the Alexandria you read about is in Egypt. So I'm thinking that that's where this is. Anyway, he's born at Alexandria, and eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures came to Ephesus. An eloquent man. In other words, he's a fine speaker. He's professional speaker, if you will. He's a good orator. And mighty in the scriptures. He's well versed in God's word. Came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So, knowing only the baptism of John means he doesn't know about Christ. He knows about the Christ in the Old Testament, but not of the New Testament, if I'm understanding that correctly. He has not been introduced to the Lord's church. And we've read of that. There were Jews in certain parts of these places that Paul and Barnabas traveled to that you know, they referred to them knowing the baptism of John, but they'd never heard of the Church of Christ. And that was a thing in that day. Some of them had left Jerusalem before the crucifixion and didn't know anything about what had happened. That happens. But they had experienced the baptism of John. In other words, they had been there when John the Baptist was preaching and teaching. Obviously had been saved and had been baptized by John. That's the way it reads here. This man is well versed in the scripture. He says this man was instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent in the spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. He's not your typical Jew. He's been saved. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So he's speaking boldly in the synagogue. He's preaching repentance because that's what John was preaching, and that's all he knew, was how to preach repentance. But wasn't preaching the ways of Christ yet. Aquila and Priscilla have heard him, they've heard him preach, and they take him and start teaching him. The man and his wife, and there's all kinds of controversy around this. You know, people talk about Aquila and Priscilla both teaching this man of God the things of God. And people get hung up on, well, Priscilla was a woman, she shouldn't have been doing that. Well, this wasn't in the Lord's house. This was not in the church. They were doing this, it's just like us sitting at home having a Bible study, you know. And they were both teaching him. They had been with Paul, you know. They had been taught by Paul. That doesn't make Priscilla a preacher. She was not preaching to the Lord's church. They're teaching Apollos. And expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. In other words, they preached the gospel to him, the gospel that Paul's been preaching, and the things of Christ to him that he hasn't heard before. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So the whole purpose of Aquila and Priscilla teaching him was so that he knew of Christ and knew what to preach, knew the gospel of Christ. And Apollos, now remember, Aquila and Priscilla have just left Achaia with Paul and are in Ephesus now. He's left them there. And Apollos goes across to Achaia, leaves Ephesus, and goes there on a mission trip. He goes there to meet with the disciples over there. And they receive him. Aquila and Priscilla send word that this man's coming. You need to receive him. You need to listen to him. This man's a great teacher of God's word. He's not, of course, an apostle. He's not the caliber that Paul is, but he is someone they trust enough to send him and to send ahead to inform the people there that he's someone you can trust. He's someone, take him in to receive him when he comes. And it says, when he was come, helped them which had believed through grace. Remember, there was many, not just Jews, but there was in Achaia, you had all those Gentiles that knew nothing of God's law. Here's a man, like Paul, was been raised as a Jew, and he's a very educated man, and especially educated on the scriptures. He can go and teach them more. And it says, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. He was bold in his preaching. Many of the Jews were convinced of what he had to say, and he didn't mind doing it in the public. Some today refer to that as open air preaching. You know, they go out and go to the city park and preach, and that's nothing wrong with that. That's a good way to get to preach the gospel. We've got pastors that we fellowship with that do some of that. And this is what we see Apollos doing. Now, we'll start with verse 1 in the next chapter. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. They know nothing of the power of the church, the power that the Lord has given to his church. Paul, and remember, I'm not sure it doesn't tell us what all Paul taught Aquila and Priscilla. Did he teach them those things? I would think he did, as much time as he spent with them. But this is an area you don't see, when he talks about this Holy Ghost, it's always has to do with one of the disciples. One of the apostles. Remember, it was Peter and John, and the Holy Ghost would come upon people when Peter would speak. And we've seen it with Paul sometimes. They would lay hands on people, and the Holy Ghost would come upon them. And it was this power of the Holy Ghost that's spoken of on the day of Pentecost, when in the first part of Acts, that would come upon people and give them the power to do great miracles in the name of Christ. And verse 3, and he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. So we see that again, unto John's baptism. And we'll talk more about John's baptism next time. But what this is these people, they know repentance. They've been taught repentance, but they haven't been taught in the church. They haven't been taught the Church of Christ and what that is, and they haven't been given the power of the Holy Ghost that was passed down to the church at that time in those days. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And like I said, we'll stop there for tonight. We'll come back Sunday evening, Lord willing. We'll come back and we'll start over in chapter 19 with this baptism of John. And we'll talk more about that. And I want to get more into detail on that, and it just wasn't part of the study for tonight to get that deep into it. But we want to look more into that because there's some differences out there on what people believe on that. And I think, from what I understand, most of the pastors we and churches we fellowship with have the same belief on this, but there are some you're going to hear, especially you get into the Pentecostal circles and the holiness and all those people. They're way, way different than what we see on this, what the scripture says on this. And we'll look at it from the scripture. So we'll stop there for tonight.